It is really good to see everybody here tonight on Sunday nights. We often, not always, but we are tonight, starting with just a short Bible class that we call Soldiers of Christ, and we're working through the life of Jesus and kind of in little pieces and parts at a time. And so tonight will be the last night of Soldiers of Christ for the rest of the year. We'll take a break from that. For the next two or three, or next three Sundays, we'll resume it probably on January 8th. So we'll have some regular worship, evening worship services on the 18th. And the next three Sundays, we'll have just a regular worship service and not do Soldiers of Christ first. But so tonight will be the last one for the year. But the purpose of this is we just have a kind of an interactive Bible class with all ages for a few minutes. And then we just transition right into our worship and don't take a break in between there. And what we have an abbreviated service for our worship, and we still get out about the same time as we used to for our regular services. So we get a little bit of everything on Sunday night. So Soldiers of Christ is just a study we started years ago to try to get into the Bible, try to get some Bible facts, some Bible information, to try to get some memory verses and various things into our hearts. And we went through the Old Testament, and now we're working our way through the New Testament. You know, those of you who've been here, you know the purpose of this is to try to just build our faith, is to try to increase our knowledge of God's Word, to make us fall in love with the Bible, and to get as much of it into our lives as we possibly can. So if I ask you for a two-word theme of the whole Bible, what is it? Jesus, Caleb. Y'all are slow. Caleb said it, and then the rest of you were like, Jesus Christ. Caleb had already said it four times by the time you said it one time. So try to stay up with Caleb tonight. So the whole Bible is about Jesus Christ. And when you get that, we say that probably every time we start Soldiers of Christ, and you're like, well, duh. But when you get that, and you realize that it's not just some book that some guys put together some time ago just to throw some stories in. Everything has to do with Jesus Christ. When you read about the flood, does that have anything to do with Jesus Christ? You read about Abraham, have anything? Everything is pointing us, getting us ready to come to Christ. Because not only is He the theme of the whole book, He needs to be the theme of our whole lives. He is all that matters. So I want you to get your Bibles out. We're going to go to John chapter 4. We're going to spend just a few minutes. We talked a little bit about this 2 weeks ago, but we really did not get into this story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And so I want us to do that tonight and think about what Jesus did in saving souls. We did look at this map a couple weeks ago, but just a reminder that here is Samaria. And Samaria is where? It's right in between Judea down in the south and Galilee up in the north. It's important to put this into perspective, because otherwise you're reading about names of places and that may not mean anything to you. At least when I'm reading about names of places in the Bible, if I don't go look at it on a map, I have no idea. I mean, when the Bible talks about Galilee and it talks about Galatia, if I don't go look on a map, those could be the same place. Does it help you to know geography? I mean, do you know the difference between, let's say, California and Connecticut? I mean, do you know those are in two different places? I mean, they both start with a C, right? But you know they're in two different places. I mean, when I say California, Connecticut, most of you automatically picture, okay, you're on two different sides of the continent, right? You got that. But when you read Bible names, you don't always get that. And so you're reading along and your brain isn't visualizing anything. It's just like all mushed together until you get a Bible map out. Okay, that's where stuff is. So Samaria is right in between Galilee in the north and Judea down in the south. That comes into play especially in what we're going to see in John chapter 4 tonight, because John chapter 4 and verse 4 says that Jesus had to go through where? Had to go through Samaria. And that's an interesting statement for a lot of reasons. One being because the Jews never went through Samaria. And we mentioned this 2 weeks ago, and we mentioned this a lot in Bible study here, but you know that the Jews did not go through Samaria. When they were traveling from Jerusalem down here in order to get up to Galilee up in the north, what would they do? They'd walk around. They're going to go from Jerusalem, heading east over to Jericho, cross the Jordan River so they could travel up the east side of the Jordan River, bypass Samaria, then cross back over into Galilee up in the north. Why in the world would they do, when you're walking, okay, when you're walking, why in the world would you do that? They don't like the Samaritans. All right, don't answer this out loud. Don't shake your head. Don't do any kind of acknowledgement of this, okay? Just answer in your silent little head. Have you ever walked around certain people so that you did not have to get near them? Okay, some of you are shaking your head yes just to do it. Okay, are we guilty of seeing someone like, okay, I think I will go over here and try to avoid them? You might be guilty of doing that. Jesus was not going to be guilty of doing that. Jesus had to go through Samaria. Why did he have to go through Samaria? Because Jesus has just got to be different about everything? Well, he's not going to do what everybody else does. And he knows that there are souls there in Samaria who need the gospel. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is that Jesus came, and the purpose of Jesus coming was to save souls. Is that right? He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, he didn't come to seek and to save that which was already saved. That'd be silly. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. So Jesus came to save souls, and you see that. You see that come to life in John chapter 4. Now, Jesus is traveling, okay? Jesus is traveling, and you see this from early on in the chapter that we saw this a couple weeks ago. As Jesus was making his way to go, but he's going to go directly through Samaria because he wants to have this encounter when he gets into Samaria. But I want you to look in verse 6, John chapter 4, verse 6. Where does he arrive? In Samaria, where does he arrive? Jacob's well. When he gets there, what is his condition according to verse 6? He's tired. He's what? Weary. Have you ever been weary? Have you ever been exhausted? Now, the Bible says it's the sixth hour. We don't know exactly if John is using Jewish time or Roman time. Okay? There's arguments on both sides of that. If he's using Jewish time, it's noon. If he's using Roman time, it's 6 p.m. Whatever the case is, he gets there and he's weary. Have you ever wanted to deal with people when you were tired? You had a long day. Did you want to deal with people? Jesus is trying to save souls even when he was physically drained. I want you to think about that. When you get physically drained, when you get tired, you get weary after a long day. Are you somebody that's seen souls? Oh yeah, I want to go and talk to them about Jesus. Or are you just like, leave me alone? Why does it tell us that Jesus was weary from his journey? We don't know the answer to that question. But the Bible drops little tidbits of information in the... Why would it tell us that? Does it tell us that to tell us he's human? Jesus is human. He gets weary from a long journey. But yet, he's wearying himself to get here to talk to this woman because he is concerned about her soul. But here's what else we need to see as we read through here, and we've already been kind of alluding to this already. And that is that Jesus tried to save souls regardless of racial barriers. What does verse 9 tell you? The end of verse 9, Jews have no dealings with who? Samaritans. As a general rule, the Jews have no... And so that's one of the questions. When you've got the cards on the priest card of our Soldiers of Christ cards, the relationship between the Jews and the Samaritans, the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. Why not? History. That's a good reason not to have dealings with people, right? We just have a bad history. That makes a whole lot of sense. What was their history? Who are the Samaritans? Where'd they come from? Obviously, we know where they live. They're right there in the middle. We don't read about the Samaritans in the Old Testament. We don't read about Samaritans when we get to the New Testament. Ta-da, Samaritans. Where'd they come from? Okay. So, you remember back in our Old Testament study? Old Testament study, when the kingdom divided, you had the northern kingdom and the... You don't even have to know the Bible to get that answer, right? You got the northern kingdom and you got the southern kingdom. You're on target, buddy. All right, so the northern kingdom had 10 tribes. How many tribes all together? 12. Northern kingdom had 10 tribes, so in the southern kingdom they had 2. You don't even know the Bible to get that one. You got 10 up here, you got 2 down here. Northern kingdom was called Israel. The southern kingdom was called Judah. Both of them were conquered by a foreign nation. Which of them was conquered first? Northern kingdom conquered first. Southern kingdom conquered second. Who conquered the northern kingdom? What nation? Assyria. Assyria. Southern kingdom. Here, I asked the wrong question, Caleb. Here's the right question. Southern kingdom was conquered by Babylon. All right, so, see, you and I have got to get on the right wavelength, and I've got to ask the right question. So this northern kingdom conquered by Assyria, southern kingdom conquered by Babylon. When the northern kingdom was conquered by Assyria, Syria didn't take all of the Jews away. They left some of the Jews there. And then they brought in some of their people to repopulate the northern kingdom. So now you have, I would say, Assyrians. But yeah, Assyrians, but they're made up of everybody and Jews living in the northern kingdom. What's going to happen? They intermarry, even though God told them not to do it. They intermarry, and all of a sudden you have what's considered a mixed race. How do the Jews look at this mixed race? With disdain, is that what you said? These people are dogs. We don't have any, they are not pure Jews anymore. We don't have anything to do with them. They are now, there is now a racial barrier between us and them, and we don't have anything to do with them. Long history there. You've got hundreds of years of history before you get to Jesus in this time frame. I want to ask you a question. Do racial barriers keep us from talking to people about Jesus? Now, I know we're going to say, no, no, they don't. They shouldn't. Have they? Jesus, what does verse 4 say? Had to go through Samaria. Are there times in our lives when we need to go to certain people that maybe we haven't had dealings with before? Maybe our parents wouldn't have had dealings. Maybe our grandparents wouldn't have had dealings with them before. Does that matter? Does Jesus want us to have dealings with these individuals, regardless of what those racial barriers might be? But not just racial barriers. I want you to see that Jesus wanted to save souls regardless of social barriers. Look in verse 4. Not verse 4. Verse 7. Who comes to draw water according to verse 7? A woman of Samaria. So verse 9 says, the woman of Samaria said, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? So in verse 27, the disciples came back from buying food and they marveled that Jesus talked to a woman. So it's not just that Jesus is dealing with a Samaritan and the Jews don't do that. Jesus is talking to a woman. Jesus is breaking down racial barriers. Jesus is breaking down social barriers. Why? Because he's concerned about saving souls. Do we do that? Do we allow, forget the racial barriers for a minute, what about social barriers? What about barriers that are in between us and other people's like, oh, well, yeah, we don't really get together. We don't really have anything to do with each other. Jesus came and died on the cross for who? Everybody. Was Jesus' blood shed for a certain race, certain social status, certain class of people? It's shed for everybody. And right here in John chapter 4, we're seeing all of this come to light. Do we see souls the same way that Jesus saw souls? So what does he do? And in chapter 4, the woman comes to the well to do what? To draw water. What else are you going to do at a well? Comes there to draw water. Jesus is there, and what does Jesus ask for? He asks for a drink of water. What is he in verse 6? He's weary. Is he thirsty? I would like a drink of water. What does Jesus do with this physical drawing of water? What does he do in this conversation? He turns it into a sermon. Every good preacher can take something and turn it into a sermon, right? You can take any conversation and turn it into a spiritual conversation. Can you? I mean, some of you are masters at changing the subject. I mean, some of you, you can be talking about donkeys, okay? And then all of a sudden, you're going to be talking about going into outer space, and you're like, how did you get there? Some of you are masters at taking something and turning it, and I'll say this, and I don't mean anything. I actually mean this in the highest of compliments. Women are better at that than men. I know some of you were thinking it. I just thought I'd say it out loud. Sometimes women are better at that than men, taking some sort of conversation and just bringing it into some other realm of understanding. Men can learn. Jesus was a man, and so you take a conversation about water, and all of a sudden, what does he start doing in verse 10? He says, if you knew who was talking to you, you would have asked for living water. I want you to imagine being this woman, and Jesus just said, you would have asked for living water. Would have asked for what? Imagine being this woman, and you just heard the words, living water. And you're like, okay, I haven't seen those 21st century movies yet where the water actually comes to life. You know what I'm talking about? You know, what is she thinking when she's thinking living water? She doesn't have a clue what to think. What did Nicodemus think when Jesus said a man must be born again? What are you talking about? I mean, Jesus took conversations and he made them spiritual, and people had to think through it. But isn't that the case? God came to this earth and lived in a human form. Does that take a little bit of time to process? God did what? He lived, and what did he do when he was here? He died. God died. I got to think about that. I got to process that. When we take something and we turn it into a spiritual conversation, hopefully we can do that to take so that we can focus on somebody's soul. Jesus saw souls. He was interested in them regardless of racial barriers, regardless of social barriers. I want you to think about it. Was this woman involved in a sinful lifestyle? Jesus says in verse 16, go call your husband and come here. What did she say? I don't have a husband. Jesus says in verse 17, you're right. You don't have a husband. Because? Why? You've had five of them, yes. And the one you're with now, oh yeah, he's not your husband. So you told the truth. Did this woman have a lot of baggage in this conversation? There's a lot of stuff going on in her life. Did Jesus say, oh, time out. You've been married five times? Yeah, I'm not going to teach you the gospel. I'm not for you. You got to find something else. What did Jesus do? He still talked to this woman. Do you think he knew this before he got there? You know he did. He still talks to this woman. Were there some changes that she was going to have to make? She's with a man that she's not married to. Are there some changes she's going to have to make if she's going to follow Jesus? Yes. But did Jesus say, oh, you got too much baggage. You got too much you got to change. I'm not even going to try to talk to you. No. He told her everything she ever did. Now, once she learns about Jesus, it's up to her to make the decision, isn't it? It's up to her to decide, am I going to stay where I am and doing what I am, which isn't right? Or am I more interested in Jesus and willing to change where I am in order to be right with Jesus? Jesus didn't make the decision for her. Do we ever make the decision for somebody else? Oh, wow, they're so deep in sin, they'll never be interested in this. They're so messed up in their life, Hey, they'd have to make some serious changes. Okay. How about give them the opportunity to learn what they need to know? Maybe they won't make the changes, but what if they don't know? What if they don't know what Jesus did for them? What if they don't know about the promise of heaven? What if they don't know what God has to offer? What if we tell it to them and then let them make the choice about what they do? That's where Jesus was. Jesus was going to let her make the choice. He talks to this woman, even though there are religious differences. She's a Samaritan. And while they worship God, they don't worship God in the same way. They're worshiping not in Jerusalem, they're worshiping at Mount Gerizim. You remember when Nehemiah came to town to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and the Samaritans wanted to help? What did Nehemiah say? Nope, not interested. We're not on the same page here. Here's a woman who's not worshiping God, and she's not following God in the same way, and yet Jesus wants to talk to her about a relationship with that God. I find it interesting that Jesus involves in his teaching to talk to her about worship. You know those three study booklets that we have out there that you can use to teach somebody the gospel? Respecting the authority of the Bible, restoring the church of the Bible, and responding to the salvation of the Bible. I've had people talk to me about why do you spend time in lesson number 2 in restoring the church of the Bible? Why do you spend time talking about the church before you talk about salvation? And why do you spend time, what's the big deal about worship before you ever talk about salvation? What did Jesus talk to this woman about? Worship. Does it matter how you worship? Jesus said it matters how you worship. And Jesus involves, here's a woman deep in sin, and what's one of the things he talks to her about? You need to know how to worship God right. That matters. God's looking for true worship. That worship's not just one of those little side issues and, well, you know, you got to get saved and you got to get that right. And if you ever get worship right, that's okay, but that's not a big deal. Jesus said it's a big deal. He talks about it with this woman who's just now learning all of the truth about Jesus. Let me throw these last couple up real quick because we're running out of time. Jesus focused on one soul at a time. Jesus comes to town. He comes to Sychar there in Samaria. And instead of going into the city where the crowd was, he could have had a bigger audience there, right? He knew that. He could have gone to the city where the crowd was, but he didn't do that. He went to the well where he's going to get to talk to one person. Boy, that's, Jesus, you're not doing much with one person. Did he do much with one person? What did she end up doing? Going into the city. Come and see this man who's told me everything I've ever done. And they come out and they believe in Jesus because of what this woman said. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to who? Every creature. Is that a big task? How do you start that? One soul at a time. You start it the way that Jesus did. You focus on people, you focus on their souls, you give them an opportunity to learn the truth. Jesus had to go through Samaria because he had to talk to this woman. There may be some people that we have not approached with the gospel because we think, nope, they're not the right kind. What do you mean they're not the right kind? If Jesus died for them, they are the right kind. May we follow the example of Jesus and see souls.